Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter 10, as we continue to examine what we find here in God's Word. I'd like to ask you this morning, what kind of attitude do you have? What kind of attitude do you have? Are you here because it's Sunday and I need to go to the building? If you're here just because you just need to show your face, you've got the wrong attitude. I can tell you that right now. The kind of attitude that we need to have from Scripture is always is an attitude of gratitude, it rhymes. Thankful to God, to love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Each day, each breath that you have comes from who? It comes from God. And I can tell you right now, we had better be prepared for our last breath. We had better be prepared. The only one who can prepare ourselves is who? Ourselves. So we need to examine ourselves every day and make sure that our heart is right with God. Because if it's not, you need to correct it while you still have opportunity. In the book of Acts, and I kind of joked around, I'll probably be teaching this book for the rest of my life. And the reason being, there is so much in this book. And as I'm going through it now, I'm amazed at how much I am learning, how much I did not see before. We're going to look now in Acts chapter 10. And what has taken place is this. God is preparing Peter to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, up until that point, it's been preached to the Jews, the Samaritans, those who were proselytes, those who were not born Jews, but followers of God. And now, for the first time, the message is being brought to the Gentiles. Now, I want you to pause here and think for just a moment. As a Christian, are you sharing the good news with those around you? We have a commandment, don't we? Go into all the world. Make disciples of men, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, Peter was given a command, go into all the world. And up until this time, he'd done it partially, but not all the way. He had a problem. And I want you to think about this. Examine your own life. Are you obeying God? If you've got to stand there on Judgment Day and be judged for every idle word that came out of your mouth, every deed and every thought that you had, how would you be judged? Would God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would he say, depart from me when he speaks to you? Again, that Judgment Day is coming and each of us needs to make sure we're prepared. Now, Peter here had obeyed God. He preached the gospel, but he had yet to preach it to the Gentiles. And Peter needed some help. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we need help sometimes to understand God's word? I do. I seek it all the time. I need help. The first one I go to is God in prayer. Please help me to understand this. But he's provided many different ways that we can better understand his word. And one way is what we're doing right now. We assemble here on the first day of the week primarily to partake of the Lord's Supper. To observe his death, his resurrection, his coming again. But also what we're doing right now. From the earliest times when the church assembled, they lifted their voice in song. They encouraged one another. They preached the word. And they taught people. They encouraged people. And that's what we're doing right now. Now, Peter had to be taught by God. If you look at Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 10, it says Peter was hungry, wanted to eat, but he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound with four corners descending to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice said to Peter, rise, kill, and eat. I'm going to tell you right now, unless you study God's word, you might not understand what's going on here. And if you study God's word, you read his word, you understand that Peter is a Jew. God had given the Jews specific commandments. And part of those commandments is that certain kind of animals, they were not to eat. They were considered unclean. And here it says, rise and eat. And Peter said in verse 14, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Now, this is important. What Peter is saying is, God, I'm obeying what you've commanded me to do. Peter wants to be faithful to God. Do we want to be faithful to God? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, unless you read his word for yourself, unless you verify the things that I'm speaking, could I lie to you? Yes, I could. Could I be wrong? Yes, I could. That's why we need to know God's word as individuals. We need to spend time in God's word. Peter knew God's word. He knew what was unclean. He said, I've never eaten anything unclean. Not so, Lord. He says in verse 14. But verse 15, a voice spoke to me and said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Peter's now being re-instructed. He's being enlightened. God has communicated to him directly. And what he's saying is, Peter, those days are gone. What was unclean is no longer considered unclean. That was done three times. Now look at verse 17. While Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house. He stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And again, we've got to remember what's taking place. Cornelius was instructed to do something, wasn't he? Cornelius is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. And up to this time, the gospel message has not been presented to the Gentiles in the same way it had been to the Jews and the Samaritans and the proselytes. And Cornelius was instructed, send for Simon. He will tell you what you must do. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Is there something today, as we live in this world, is there something that we must do? Is there something that God expects of us? Yes, there is. And I'm going to tell you right now, you as an individual need to spend time in God's Word to know what God wants you to do. And it's not just knowing what He wants you to do. What else is it? You better do it. You better do it. So I'm going to ask you, as you sit here, do you have a clear conscience before God? If you had to stand before God right now, and God knows your every thought, your every deed, your every word, could you stand before God with a clear conscience? Now, God has provided a way for us to do that, hasn't He? And that is His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's something we need to consider. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't fully understand why God did it this way. But He did. And what He did is this. He's made it clear. If you are alive today and you have rebelled against God by doing things He doesn't want you to do, He's provided a means for you to be forgiven. There's something you must do. And if you don't do it, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? It's your fault. It's your fault. You can't blame anyone else. You have to take responsibility. But Peter here, he doesn't want to violate God's law, but God's telling him it's no longer unclean. And now Peter is going to try to see and understand what God is telling him. Because Cornelius has sent for him. Look at verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. God is still preparing Peter. He's telling them, I have sent them for you. Go with them. Verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom ye seek. For what reason have ye come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God, has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear a word from you. Again, we went into detail about Cornelius. Look at his description. He is what? A just man, one who fears God, has a good reputation among the nation of Jews. He was instructed by an angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you. Now, did Cornelius wait around to do that? Did he wait a year, 2 years? No, he did it immediately. He summoned men, and then he sent them as God had instructed him to do. Again, I'm trying to drive home the point. When we know there's something God wants us to do, when should we do it? Tomorrow? Next week? No, we need to do it now. Now, I want you to think about something that's hard for you to do. Something that's hard. You know, God has given instructions that between a husband and wife, they shouldn't go to bed angry at one another. They should resolve it. Husbands, do we always resolve this when we have an argument with our wife? Wives, do we always resolve it? Is it easy to do? I can tell you, speaking from experience, it's not always easy to do. But you better do what God instructs you to do. Is that true? You better do what God instructs you to do. He's teaching you. He's instructing you. He's admonishing you. He's encouraging you. He's building you up. You need to obey God in everything and not neglect anything. Verse 23, Peter invited them in and lodged them. Who did he invite into his home and lodge in his home? Who are these people? These are Gentiles. And Peter is starting to understand. He invites them into his home and lodges them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Another point, when we read God's word, the details are so important. All these things tie together. And I want you to know, Peter has a vision from God, but when he goes, in verse 23, some brethren, who are those? Brothers and sisters in Christ, brethren here, those who have obeyed the gospel, and up until this time, they're either Jews or Samaritans, they are going with him to Joppa. Is there a reason they're going with him to Joppa? Is there? Yes. What are they going to be? They're going to be eyewitnesses to what takes place in the household of Cornelius. They're going to see the demonstration of God as the gospel message is being preached to the Gentiles. And that's what I love about as I study the book of Acts. The details are so important. If I go to study with someone, do I like to go by myself? No, I don't. I like a brother with me, or sometimes my wife with me, depending on the situation. Because what I might say might not be helpful, but what someone else says might be helpful. We have different points of what? Different points of view, different perspectives, different experiences, different ways of communicating. And some ways are more effective with people than others. And here, he's bringing the brethren with him to see what's going to take place. Look at verse 24. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. Again, detail. Cornelius, a faithful man, a godly man, good reputation. He sent for Peter, and notice what he does. He called together his relatives and close friends. Isn't that beautiful? He knows something special is about to happen. There's words that God wants him to hear. And can you imagine what thoughts are going through his head? He's a man of prayer. He's a man of helping others. He's a spiritual man. He's, quote, a good man, but he lacks something. And what he lacks is he's not yet heard the good news, the message about what God wants him to do. Now, in our own experiences, do we know people like that? Good people. They help others. They're loving. They share. But there's something lacking in their lives. I'm going to tell you right now, you as a Christian have a responsibility, a personal responsibility, in whatever way that you can, to preach the word. There's a verse that says, preach the word only on Saturday. Is that what it says? Preach the word when? Be instant, in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Be ready all the time. Is that easy to do? Is it? No, it's not. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes love. It takes the attitude of what? Attitude of what? Gratitude. Love God with what? All your heart, your soul, your mind. Be prepared. Be ready to give an answer to those who ask of you. So Peter now is coming. Cornelius has called his friends, his family together, his close friends. And in verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshiped him. Now think about that for just a moment. Is that something that we should do? Worship a person? Should we worship a person? Now, think about the thoughts that are going through Cornelius. He's a Roman. He's a centurion. Is he used to giving honor to men? Yes, he is. And here he's been instructed that this man is being sent by God. He's going to be telling you what you need to do. He's God's representative in that way. He's an apostle. So now he comes and he gets down to worship him. Now look at the response of Peter, verse 26. Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. I kind of touched on this last time. Is Peter the first pope? Is Peter the first papa? Now, we kind of chuckle at that, but there are many people who believe that Peter is the first pope. And we see the development through history of this thought. And we've seen pictures of people as they, you know, they do all this stuff before the pope. But here, God makes it absolutely clear that we are not to worship men. Who are we to worship? God and God alone. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And verse 7. And there it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Who are we to worship? God. Again, I'm going to ask you this morning, you as an individual, have you put God first in your life? Have you done that? And again, that's a question only you can answer. Just because you're sitting here this morning, you partook of the Lord's Supper, you've lifted your voice in praise and sing to God, you're listening right now to a message from his word, just because you're doing those things, does that mean you're acceptable to him necessarily? No. God knows your heart. God knows your mind. God knows if you are being completely obedient to him. And that's what he desires of each and every one of us. Verses like Revelation 14, verse 7 show it's completely wrong and immoral to worship any man, and also for any man to accept worship. Those are two things. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 20. And let's remember something else here too. Because I used to be a Catholic before I became a Christian. And one thing I did as a Catholic, because that is what I was taught, is every Saturday I would go to confession. Now, what is that? Are we to confess our sins? Yes. Am I to confess it to a man so that he can tell me what I need to do to have my sins forgiven? No. That's nowhere in God's word. But yet I was taught from an early age, I go to confession, I confess my sins to the priest, and then he says, go say 7 Hail Marys and 4 Our Fathers, and your sins are forgiven. I want to ask you a question. Is that anywhere in God's word that we are to confess our sins to a priest? Is it anywhere? No, it's not. Now, it makes you kind of think, because there are millions, maybe a billion, I don't know how many there are now, who believe that. And it was amazing because there were only 2 times a year you were really required to go to Mass. What those 2 days, 2 months? Easter and Christmas. All right? You needed to make sure you're Easter, anything, you know, but make sure you're there on Easter and Christmas. Those are the big ones. In God's word, when are we to assemble together? Is it every Thursday? No, upon the first day of the week, and that's why we're here now. We're here to worship God with all our heart, our soul, and mind. We're to worship God, glorify Him, give Him all the honor, because that is what we have been instructed to do. Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 20, Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. He saw that others were receiving the ability to do this by the laying on of hands of the apostles. He wanted to do it. He says, you have neither part nor portion in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. And Peter could observe that. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. So go say 4 Hail Marys and 3 Our Fathers and come back. Is that what he says to him? No. Look what it says. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. What's he telling them to do? Repent and what? Pray to God. Go to God. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, for that none of those things which you have spoken may come upon me. Now, we don't know what happened later. I hope everything worked out for him. His heart turned out right. But Peter told him exactly what to do. Repent and pray to God. And that tells us the difference here about Catholicism and what is Christianity. But it's not just Catholicism. How many different religions are there today who claim to be Christian? 2? 5? The number is thousands of different groups who each claim to be Christian, and they all teach something different. Now, the Bible tells us how many churches are there. One God, one faith, one church. And we had better make sure that we are part of the church that Jesus Christ died for. That's it. Because if we're not part of that church, if we have not submitted ourselves to God, are we acceptable in His sight? No, we're not. And we're going to continue. I'm going to stop here. But we need to have the right kind of heart. The same kind of heart that Cornelius had. Cornelius, it says, his alms went up before God. He's a man of prayer. God sent him a vision about what to do. He did it immediately. He brought others because he wanted them too to hear this message from this man that God was sending him. So do we have the same attitude that we want to hear what God has to say and we want to do what God commands us to do? So we'll stop here. God willing, we'll continue next time. So you can see this is going to take a while to get through Acts. Can you see that? I think I got through, what, 8 verses maybe, if that many. There is so much detail here, and it's something we cannot overlook. Again, I want to encourage everyone that's sitting here to examine yourself. You know that about 8 weeks ago, I underwent surgery. And I can tell you one thing I did before I underwent surgery is I examined myself. And I went through a process of doing that. Because I had to make sure before I went through that operation that my heart was right with God. Because I wasn't sure I was going to come out of the operation. I thought that could have been it. Are we promised tomorrow? No, we're not. But we do have a lot of promises in His Word. If we hear Him, we obey Him, then we will be acceptable to Him. And one of those things, if you're here this morning, you've not yet been baptized into Christ. He commands you to do that. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. That is something God commands you to do as a first step. That's just the beginning. And then you have to live, what? Faithfully until death. That's what He calls us to do. So examine yourself. I was taken by my parents, who loved me very much, and I was baptized as a baby. Let me ask you a question. Even though their heart, they wanted something good for me, even though they believed they were doing what God wanted them to do, does that make it right? No. Just because you believe that or want it or you want to do good, it needs to be the way that God instructs us to do it. So even though my parents had good intent and they loved me and wanted the best for me, they were not following God's word. And later when I became an adult, I had to examine that. Yes, my parents loved me. Yes, my parents wanted me to know God. But they were not doing things according to His word. So I had to make a decision. Do I continue living my life as a Catholic? Or do I follow God's word? That's the decision I had to make. Was that an easy decision? Well, let me tell you, man, I tell you, when the decision was made, I had to do it right then. I couldn't put it off. I called up the preacher at 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, I want to be baptized right now, 2 a.m. in the morning. I mean, I was petrified because I realized what? I realized my heart, I was in living in sin. If something happened to me and I was not obedient to God, what does that mean? I'm lost forever. And if you read God's word about hell, it's not nice. And the more I study about hell, you know, I think, oh, it's not nice, I guarantee you. Eternal damnation, eternal fire, eternal separation from God. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what's happening to you. If you're here this morning and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, please consider making that change in your life. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, if you need the prayers of this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.